coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds listeners the effects of child abuse are devastating. For those who survive, the pain inflicted upon them as children will often influence their entire lives. If you or someone you know needs help, contact your local authorities immediately. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 970-482-6783. Western Stone Company takes this time out to recognize and salute the men and women in uniform around the world standing tall for our political and economic freedom. This holiday season, let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. Their efforts abroad and our support at home keep America strong. That's from Paul and his family and the professionals at Western Stone Company, serving our listening area with quality service, reliability, and integrity. Call 303-823-6404. That's 303-823-6404. They're on the air because they care about our troops.
Well, and here is the American Freedom Network, and is Pastor Billy Crone there?
Yes.
Oh, great. Okay, fine. Well, Pastor Billy Crone, a church there in Las Vegas, Nevada, but of course he's most well known to our listeners because of this series of video interviews. We carry them, his interviews on the Final Countdown of Prophecy as it applies to America today. And then, of course, going into the background of the validity of the scriptures. Always a fascinating story. And so what are we going to be talking about this morning, Pastor Billy?
Well, we actually made it to a new sign, believe it or not. We've already talked about how do you know you're living the last days. The Bible's clear. You better pay attention, number one, to the Jewish people. Two, you need to pay attention to modern technology and all this increase of travel and knowledge and even unrest in our rat race society is a sign, Daniel chapter 12. Worldwide upheaval, of course, earthquakes, famines, pestilence, wars, rumors of wars, weird signs in the sky and things of that nature. We just finished up with falsehood, false Christ, false teachers, and et cetera, even the line of UFOs to explain away the rapture of the church. But we actually make it to a new one, the rise of wickedness. And this one, kind of like with the Jewish people, to me is mind-blowing. It's like because we're not equipped with Bible prophecy, we don't realize that all you got to do is turn on your television set and you'll have proof that you're living in the last days. Even any day now, anywhere pretty much around the planet who has a television set, you can turn it on and see the news of what's going on in the Middle East. Well, that's a big sign, folks, with the unrest that's over there in the Israel and Jerusalem and what's all going on there. The Bible said that these are the kind of things that's going to take place when you're in that last generation, in the last days. But also this unadulterated wickedness that we see today that's on every single channel, it seems, on the news every single day. Somebody did this, some atrocity here, some blew up this, some did that. The Bible predicted nearly 2,000 years ago, that's one of the clear-cut signs that you're in that generation. And the Apostle Paul talks about this in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says, and this is, you don't have to say, hey, maybe that's your interpretation. No, it's pretty blunt in the text. He says, but mark this, there's going to be terrible times in the last days. He calls it out. He didn't say in some day. He said the last days. And he says, here's the sign. People of that day will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the form of godliness but denying his power. He says, hey, have nothing to do with them. Okay, but the point is, obviously, if you're listening there, one of the major characteristics in the last day, Paul calls it out, is, man, that society is going to be horrible. It's going to be wicked, a massive rise of wickedness, absolute unadulterated wickedness, okay? And if you're paying attention to that list, not just one, not just two, not just 50% of it, every single one of those wicked behaviors is commonplace in our society right now, okay? Which means, I'm not making it up, according to the Bible, guess what? We're living in the last days, okay? It's clear as a bell. Okay, and again, you know, the skeptics might come along and say, well, come on, so what? Whoop-de-doo. So we've always had wicked behavior on the planet. Why should I pay attention now? And granted, yeah, there's throughout history, ever since the fall of man, we've had some form of wicked behavior. That's granted. But here's the point. If you're paying attention to what's going on in the world, it's not just growing. It's growing out of control. It's growing exponentially. In the last just a few decades alone, there's been an explosion of every single one of those wicked behaviors that Paul listed there. And it's getting worse. And to prove my point, let me just give you a dichotomy of just how bad it's getting. I'm going to give you just the growth of wickedness, the rise of wickedness from the 1940s to the 1980s. Now, keep in mind, obviously, it's gotten much, much worse since the 1980s. But I just want to give you a slice of how it's incrementally growing on a rapid rate. In the 1940s, and this is just public school disciplinary problems, the top problems in school, okay? In the 1940s, the number one problem in school was talking. That's it. That was the number one problem I had to deal with. Oh, those kids keep talking. The number one problem by the 1980s was drug abuse. The number two problem in the 1940s was chewing gum, if you can believe that, those rebels. The 1980s, it's alcohol abuse. The third biggest problem in the 1940s in public school was making noise. The number three problem by the 1980s was pregnancy. The number four problem in the 1940s was running in the hallways. Number four in the 1980s is suicide. Number five in the 1940s was getting out of place in line. Ooh. 1980s, it's rape. Number six in 1940s, biggest problem was wearing improper clothing. The sixth biggest problem by the 1980s was robbery. The number seven problem in the 1940s they had to deal with, can you believe this? What a rough time it must have been. The number seven problem was not putting paper in the wastebasket. Okay, in the 1980s, it's assault. Okay. But you take a look at that, and you know, we can keep going on. And again, it's much worse than just since the 1980s. But you could see the growth there. Okay, in the last few decades, there's exactly what the Bible said would happen: a massive rise of wickedness, and it's out of control. In fact, it's so out of control that we've almost seemed it. And maybe this helps to fuel it getting out of control. But it seems like we're not even shocked by it anymore. It just becomes so commonplace. It's now considered the norm. We almost like we expect it. And it's getting worse by the day. You can't even go to the movies without being shot. You can't walk down the street. You are getting assaulted. We've got some horrid behavior. You've got people eating their faces off of other people. This is our society. And then we act like it's no big deal. We literally will sit there with the clicker and go, what else is on? Let me check the Weather Channel. It's there every single day. And again, this is what's so ironic, Dr. Monty. It's one thing to ignore the signs of what's going on in Israel and Jerusalem, the Jewish people, when it comes to Bible prophecy, showing that we're in that generation, we're living the last days. But this is one of the biggest ones out there, too. Every time you turn on the TV and you keep hearing these constant reports of this absolute, unadulterated wickedness all over the planet, it's one of the biggest signs, according to the Bible, you're in the last days. Okay? But the question I have as you're looking at it is just like, okay, but how did it get that way? How did we go from 1940s to the number one problem is talking to just a few decades later, it's drug abuse and alcohol and pregnancy and suicide and rape and robbery and assault, and it's even worse today? Okay? Well, that's because, folks, if you do your homework, there's been a deliberate plan of attack. Okay? And the first plan of attack on it was the rise of humanism that became infected into our school system, our court system, et cetera, and I'll get to that in a second. But the explosion of wickedness is contrasted against our Judeo-Christian ethic that used to be commonplace in our country here in America. And, you know, with these godly principles, you got to ask yourself the question, well, how did it get that way? How did it get that so out of control so fast, so wicked so fast? Okay? And as soon as you start going down that route, saying that we've turned from a Judeo-Christian ethic with godly principles that we used to, believe it or not, yes, teach in our school system, the skeptics going to say, well, oh, no, you're just being brainwashed.
All the thoughts will be back in just a moment with Pastor Billy Crone. The first thing they did was take God and prayer and the Ten Commandments. They knew what they were doing. See the end result. Be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. and we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by the Green Herb located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Hope Pool and Physical Therapy in Greeley would like to take this time to remind everyone, a blood donation truly is a gift of life that a healthy individual can give to others in their community who are sick or injured. In a one-hour time, a person can donate one unit of blood that can be separated into four individual components to help save multiple lives. This message is from Hope Pool and Physical Therapy in Greeley. Give the gift of life. Give blood.
Well, Dr. Stan and Pastor Billy Crone with us this morning talking about the moral breakdown of our society. But when you take God and prayer and Ten Commandments and Christmas and Easter and morality out of our schools, why should we be surprised when we have an immoral society? And this didn't happen by accident. It happened by plan. There is no wall of separation between church and state in our Constitution. It was contrived by the evil people in the Supreme Court, who knew exactly what they were doing, and that is the destruction of the moral fabric of our society. Pastor Billy, you pick up the story.
Well, and that's just it, and that's the ruse that's being played upon us. And you hear from the skeptics, oh, no, don't even start going down that route. We were never formed on Christian principles as a nation, blah, 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 blah. And our founding fathers never wanted to have this in our society, in our schools, etc. And what they do is they have this statement there. They say, our founding fathers demanded the separation of church and state, which has basically come to mean now, keep Christianity out at all costs of everything in our society. Okay, but again, I challenge you guys that anyone who comes up to you and say, oh no, our founding fathers demanded the separation of church and state, meaning keep Christianity out, then challenge them back and ask them, okay, it's separation of church and state, where does that appear in the Bill of Rights? Show me, because it's not there. And then keep going. Say, hey, oh, by the way, where does separation of church and state appear in our Constitution? You know, it's not there. It came from a letter. They take it out of context completely on a multitude of levels, certainly historically, but even contextually. And it came from a letter from Thomas Jefferson in 1802. It was written by the Danbury Baptists out of Connecticut. I've been there. And they were concerned. They wrote to Thomas Jefferson back in 1802 that another Christian denomination called the Congregationalists were going to become the official Christian denomination of the United States. Okay, now notice the whole time the context is Christian and Christianity, not Buddhism, not Islam, not Eastern mysticism, not everything under the sun. When they talked about religion, our founding fathers, they were referring to the, quote, religion of Christianity, and I think that can be well demonstrated here in just a second. And so Jefferson, that was their concern. Hey, you know, are we going to become the official Christian denomination of the United States, the Congregationalists? Are we all going to have to become Christian Congregationalists? Okay, and Jefferson simply referred back to the First Amendment that says Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of religion, Christianity, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Okay, and so Jefferson basically was saying he had full confidence in the original intent of the First Amendment that would ensure that no Christian denomination would be chosen as the official Christian denomination of the United States. That's it. That's what he meant by the phrase there, of separation of church and state. First of all, it's nowhere in the Bill of Rights, it's nowhere in the Constitution, and they take that little snippet from a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote back in 1802, completely out of context, out of historical context. It had nothing to do with keep Christianity out. In fact, if you look at the words of our founding fathers, you'll clearly see that they wanted to keep Christianity in at all levels of our society. Let me share just a few of those quotes from you. John Adams, listen to what he said. He said, the general principles on which the fathers achieved independence here in America with the general principles of Christianity. Without religion, and again, contextually, he means the Christian religion, this world would be something not fit to be mentioned in polite company, I mean hell. That's a direct quote. Well, that sounds like today, doesn't it? That's what it's turned into. The Christian religion, he said, is above all the religions that ever prevailed or existed in ancient or modern times, the religion of wisdom, virtue, equity, and humanity. John Quincy Adams, he says, my hopes of a future life are all founded upon the gospel of Christ. In the chain of human events, the birthday of the nation, America, is indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior. The Declaration of Independence laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity. Patrick Henry, he said, being a Christian is a character which I prize far above all this world or has or can boast. Righteousness alone can exalt America as a nation. The great pillars of all government and of social life are virtue, morality, and religion, meaning Christianity. This is the armor, my friend, and this alone is what renders us invincible. John Jay, he was the original Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, pay attention to our Supreme Court today, the U.S. Supreme, and what their rulings have done. But this is the original guy, John Jay. Listen to what he said. He said, mercy and grace and favor did come by Jesus Christ. By conveying the Bible to people, we certainly do them, listen, a most interesting act of kindness. The most effectual means of securing the continuance of our civil and religious liberties is to always remember with reverence and gratitude the source from which they flow. Well, where they come from? Bingo. The Bible is the best of all books, for it is the Word of God and teaches us the way to be happy in this world and in the next. Continue, therefore, to read it and to regulate your life by its precepts. Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. That's the original Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. Oh, they didn't want Christianity in there. That's not what they... No, that's not true. If you actually do your homework and read their writings, Benjamin Rush, he was the father of public schools under the Constitution. Listen, he said, the gospel of Jesus Christ prescribes the wisest rules for just conduct in every situation of life. Happy are they who are enabled to obey them in all situations. The great enemy of the salvation of man, meaning Satan, in my opinion, he says, never invented a more effective means of limiting Christianity from the world than persuading mankind that it was improper to read the Bible at schools. Did you get that? Benjamin Rush said, "If you the enemy, the devil, Satan, has his most effective means of limiting Christianity from the world is by persuading people it's not right to read it in schools." That's what's happening today. These are our founding fathers, folks. And he says this. He says, Christianity is the only true and perfect religion, and in proportion as mankind adopts its principles and obeys its precepts, they will be wise and happy. Listen. He says, the Bible should be read in our schools, listen, in preference to all other books. These are our founding fathers. We have been lied to, people. Noah Webster, he was a schoolmaster to America. He said, the religion which has introduced civil liberty is the religion of Christ and his apostles. This is genuine Christianity, and to this we owe our free constitutions of government. The moral principles and precepts found in the Scripture ought to form the basis of all civil constitutions and laws. I am persuaded no civil government of a republican form can exist and be durable which the principles of Christianity have not a controlling influence. And even George Washington, there's a whole big debate on his background. Listen to what he said. He says, you do well to wish to learn our arts and ways of life, and above all, the religion of Jesus Christ. These will make you a greater and happier people than you are. While we are zealously performing the duties of good citizens and soldiers, we certainly ought not to be inattentive to the higher duties of religion. To the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of Christian. And then the Congress, U.S. House Judiciary Committee back in 1854 said this, had the people during the Revolution, this is the Judiciary Committee, okay, he said, they said they had the people during the Revolution, American Revolution, had a suspicion of any attempt to war against Christianity, that revolution would have been strangled in its cradle. In this age, there can be no substitute for Christianity. That was the religion of the founders of the Republic, and they expected it to remain the religion of their descendants. In fact, so much so that they expect it to be the remain of their descendants that folks, almost all the first colleges and the schools in America clearly promoted it. The first colleges formed in the United States, folks, 123 of them out of 126, they were all formed on Christian principles, okay? Up until 1900, it was very rare to find a university president who was not an ordained clergyman, okay? In fact, the New England Primer, that was America's first textbook that was used for 210 years in our country, taught the alphabet like this. A, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. C, Christ crucified for sinners died. Z, Zacchaeus, he did climb the tree our Lord to see. That's how they were taught the alphabet. Oh, they didn't want Christianity in schools. They never... That's a lie. Okay? The 107 questions... How would you like to answer this? The 107 questions at the end of the New England Primer, okay, America's first textbook for 210 years, here was those questions. Just some of them. Quote, this is your final. Okay, listen. What offices does Christ execute as our Redeemer? How does Christ execute the office of a priest? What is required in the fifth commandment? What are the benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification? That was the elementary test. We have adults who don't even know what those words are, even in churches, unfortunately, sadly. Okay, but that, what? Oh, keep Christianity? No, it's not. That's a lie. And listen, George Washington, he also made it crystal clear that American schools would teach the Indian youth the religion of Jesus Christ, and Congress assisted in doing so. In fact, in 1782, folks, Congress had 10,000 Bibles printed for use in the school system. Okay? Excuse me. And Dr. Benjamin Rush said, the only means of establishing and perpetuating our Republican forms of government is the universal education of our youth in the principles of Christianity by means of the Bible. And then again, Thomas Jefferson, and there's a whole debate on his background, but listen to what he promoted. He wrote the first plan of education for the city of Washington, D.C., and he adopted two books, okay? Here's the two books for his plan for the city, the people, the kids, the children of Washington, D.C. Here's the two textbooks. Number one, the Bible. Number two, Watts' Hymnal, okay? And if you read Watts' Hymnal and look at his hymnal, it's all songs, and there's tons of scripture. It's all based on scripture, and that was their textbook, and he hired clergymen to be the teachers. Well, that's not too bad for a guy that people say, oh, I don't even know if he's a Christian. And maybe not, but listen to what he did. Okay. 1854 edition of Webster's Dictionary had biblical definitions, Bible verses, even had Webster's own testimony of personally receiving Christ. They ripped that out of the dictionary. Okay. America's first school, folks, was Harvard. It was founded in 1636 by Reverend John Harvard. And listen to the official motto of the school, for Christ and the Church. Okay. Harvard had several requirements which students had to observe, and one of them was this, quote, let every scholar be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. That was used to be at Harvard, okay? In fact, okay, I'm going to give you a little teaser here. See if you can guess where the largest church in America used to be. This is America's first huge mega church, okay, and this is where it was held. This is absolutely amazing, okay. And believe it or not, I'm just going to tell you what it is, okay. It was in the U.S. Capitol. Used to be the largest mega church in the United States. And listen to this. One guy he brings out. He says that the first Bible printed in English in America, okay, was printed by the U.S. Congress in 1782, okay. And the records in the Bible, the quote, it says, a neat edition of the Holy Scriptures for use of our schools, end quote. Okay? So the first Bible printed in America in English, okay, was printed by Congress for use of our schools. Okay? And it continues on. You put all that together, and it's like, well, wait a second. Meaning the first Bible printed in English by America was done by the guys who signed the documents, endorsed by Congress, and was done for the use of schools. And we're being told today that these guys didn't want any kind of religion, meaning Christianity, in our education. They don't want voluntary prayer. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy, okay? But here's what's interesting. This is why it was the mega church, okay? Thomas Jefferson, this is really cool, okay? He, back in 1857, the U.S. Capitol was the largest church in the United States, okay? And back on December 4th of 1800, Okay, members of the Congress, members of the Senate, Thomas Jefferson over the Senate, and there was a guy named John Trumbull over the House. And they decided, listen, that on Sundays that they would turn the Capitol building into a church building. And starting on that Sunday, that they'd start having services, church services in the Capitol. And they did. Okay, 6 weeks after that, Thomas Jefferson became the president of the United States. But for 8 years as president, he went to church services at the U.S. Capitol. Okay? He was there. He listened to the sermons there at the U.S. Capitol, man. And he decided that he could help the worship at the U.S. Capitol for the church services being held there. He ordered, listen to this, the Marine Corps band to play the worship services at the Capitol. And wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't it be cool to have the Marine Corps as your worship band at the church service? Okay, well, that happened in our country. Okay? And then the church went on for the better part of a whole century. Okay? And by 1857, it's America's first megachurch, U.S. Capitol. By 1857, there were 2,000 people a week went to that church. Okay, in the Hall of Representatives. And in addition to that, there were four other churches that met in the Capitol. They shared the facility. Okay,
we have been have to interrupt you. We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Billy Crone right here. America's Investment.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on. Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, America was once a great nation because America was a moral nation and we were built upon God. But there's always been forces here that wanted to use the power of America to bring about a one-world atheistic government. to create a one-world government, a one-world financial system, and a one-world religion, and to destroy Christianity. And those forces, oh, they were here when America was founded, oh, but they had to hide their existence because we were such a devoutly Christian nation. But that's no longer true. Today, why, of course, these people are in total control, both political parties. They make mockery out of our electoral system. They use America's military and financial power to bring about a world government, which is why we have our troops stationed in 130 nations, which is why we certainly are financing the Muslims, the radical Islamists over there in Syria, and certainly in Egypt and in Tunisia and in Libya, and bringing all those countries under the influence of the Muslim Brotherhood. America was once great because America is good, was good. But as Edmund Burke said, if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. And those times are coming because America has turned its back on God, and the churches are not speaking out, and the Christians are not speaking out. Pastor Billy, before we go on, would you like to tell our listeners how they get in touch with your ministry there in Las Vegas?
Yeah, sure. You can get a hold of us at our main media website at getalifemedia.com, getalifemedia.com, getalifemedia.com. Or if you want to join us for studies here in Las Vegas, you're more than welcome. That's at sunriselv.com. SunriseLV is in Las Vegas.com. And or you could just search my name on the internet, Billy Crone, C-R-O-N-E, and that'll take you where you need to go.
All right, fine. Well, you go right ahead. But my wife and son were there a couple of weeks ago. Church is growing, and it's almost doubled in size in the last year or so. Anyway, God bless you for everything you're doing. But pick up this story about America's demise and what happens to a nation that turns against God.
Well, it gets really bad, to put it mildly. You know, the Scripture warns about that. Our founding fathers warned about that. And let me just give you how ridiculous it is. It's an attack on Christianity. It's an attack on the biblical principles that our founding fathers set this nation upon. But it gets down to where they ultimately want to go as well, and that's an attack on our Constitution. In fact, it's gotten so bad. Listen to this. Recently, a publishing company put a warning label on the Constitution. I'm not kidding. Here's the direct quote. Wilder Publications warns readers of its reprint of the Constitution. It warns readers of a reprint of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, Common Sense, the Articles of Confederation, and the Federalist Papers, among others, that, quote, this book, listen to this, here's their warning sticker, this book is a product of its time and does not reflect the same values as it would if it were written today. A warning sticker, a warning label on the Constitution. It's absolutely crazy, folks. Okay, and well, again, how did it get this way? Well, it's humanism. You're right, absolutely, Dr. Monteith, of course. And our country has been infiltrated, folks. And these people have slowly but methodically been working over the last several decades, and they, you know, eventually began to get into the Supreme Court, and they began taking out prayer and Bible reading, and then eventually the Ten Commandments, and not just out of schools, but in the courtrooms and things of that nature, and they supplanted them with their belief system. You know, a lot of people don't even realize humanism. What's humanism? That doesn't sound too bad. We're humans. Well, no, it's basically man is the center of all things. Our founding father says that these rights that we have, our country, our freedoms, our form of government, they're endowed by our creator, by God. God's the top one. Man isn't. And if you put man in the center of all things, you're going to be in serious trouble. It's diametrically opposed to Christianity and what our founding father set up. Let me tell you what just a few of their basic beliefs are. Humanism, okay? And you tell me if they are not promoting their belief system in virtually every aspect of society. And they're using the schools and the media to get the job done. But here's what humanists believe. Faith in the prayer-hearing God, assumed to live and care for persons, to hear and understand their prayers, and to be able to do something about them, is an unproved and outmoded faith. Two, we find insufficient evidence for the belief in the existence of a supernatural. We begin with humans, not God. Three, we do not accept as true the literal interpretation of the Old and New Testaments. Four, we include a recognition of an individual's rights to die with dignity. They support euthanasia. They support suicide, birth control, and, of course, abortion. Number five, we believe that intolerant attitudes
often cultivated by orthodox religions and puritanical cultures, unduly repress sexual conduct. Divorce should be recognized, and the many varieties of sexual exploration should not themselves be considered evil. Six, we oppose any tyranny over the mind of man to shackle free thought. In the past, such tyrannies have been directed by churches and states attempting to enforce the edicts of religious bigots. Number seven, just give you a couple more. Promises of immortal salvation or fear of eternal damnation are both illusory and harmful. And finally, salvationism, based on mere affirmation, still appears as harmful, diverting people with false hopes of heaven hereafter. No deity will save us. We must save ourselves. Well, does that sound familiar? Yeah, of course it does. Again, it was the humanists who forced Bible and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools, out of our courtrooms, out of our government, under the guise that religion and education don't mix. You know, the lie of separation church and state. Okay, yeah, well, most people don't even realize, and here's the irony. They say, oh, you can't have religion in schools. Well, first of all, they teach every religion under the sun in the schools, and they promote it for a one-world religion, except for Christianity. You can go in there, and kids today are being taught witchcraft. They're being taught how to be a good person for the New World Order, the globalistic society that they're building for us, how to be a good global person and get along with everybody on the planet, and et cetera, blah, blah, blah. And you can teach all that stuff. You can teach them witchcraft. You can teach them how to become a Muslim for a day and recite Muslim prayers, and on it goes. But not Christianity. It's a direct attack, folks, on Christianity. And yet the irony is, their whole guise is separation church-state, which is a lie. And two, our founding fathers did not want to have a religion in school. Yet here's the irony. Back in the early 60s, humanism was considered a religion itself by the Supreme Court. Oh, so really what it is you don't want the Christian religion taught in the schools. You want your religion taught in the school called humanism. Okay, and that's exactly what's going on. Okay, and if you don't think that that's really their agenda, then listen to their words. I'm going to quote you some actual humanists, and they don't hold nothing back. They admit that, yes, we are deliberately going to infiltrate America, your country, your courtrooms, your schools, and we're going to take over the minds of the people. And they're not going to believe in God anymore. They're not going to believe in the literal Bible anymore, Old or New Testaments. They're not going to think that there's any salvation or heaven or hell. They're going to believe what we believe, okay? Listen to what they say. This one is from Orestes Brownson, and he said this. Listen to this. They don't hide it. He says, our great object was to get rid of Christianity and to convert our churches into halls of science. The plan was not to make an open attack on religion, but to establish a system of state schools from which all religion was to be excluded and to which all parents were to be compelled by law to send their children. For this purpose, a secret society was formed and the whole country was to be organized. Horace Mann, he said, what the church has been for medieval man, the public school must become for democratic and rational man. God would be replaced by the concept of public good. John Dewey, okay, he's the father of progressive education.
Hold that thought, Pastor Billy. We'll be back in just a moment. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really are secret societies. And the fact you never heard of them is they control the media.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squareroofconstruction.com.
Try Property Management in Greeley reminds everyone each year millions of children suffer from abuse. And although hundreds of cases still go unreported, behind the statistics are the lives of innocent children. Help conquer child abuse and report what you know to local authorities. Remember, your call could save a child's life. This message from Try Property Management in Greeley. For a full range of homes or apartments for rent, call 970-352-1025 or go online at tryplacestolive.com.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Pastor Billy Crone. And Pastor Billy, just go right ahead.
Well, again, just to prove the point that these people really have an agenda, there is no conspiracy. It's a demonstrated fact. They even admit it. John Dewey, he's the father of progressive education. They're using the educational system, folks, and that's been their plan all along. They admit it. Not just remove Christianity, but supplant it with humanism. And this is where we're getting all this wickedness and stuff going on. But John Dewey, he's the father of progressive education. He's the co-author of the First Humanist Manifesto, which I read earlier. And he's an honorary NEA president, or was. And he says, quote, "There is no God and there is no soul. Hence, there's no need for the props of traditional religion. With dogma and creed excluded," take them out, "then immutable truth is also dead and buried. There is no room for fixed natural law or moral absolutes. You get to do whatever you want." Charles Potter, he said this. He said, "Education is thus a most powerful ally of humanism, and every American school is a school of humanism." And then with mockery, listen to what he says. He says, "What can a theistic Sunday school's meeting for an hour once a week and teaching only a fraction of the children do to stem the tide of the five-day program of humanistic teaching?" They know it. They got the minds of the kids. They're just re-educating, okay, the next generation. Actually, it's been several generations, but it gets worse with each succeeding one since we removed the Judeo-Christian ethic. Paul Blanchard, he says, "I think that the most important factor moving us towards a secular society has been the educational factor. Our schools may not teach Johnny to read properly, but the fact that Johnny's in school until he's 16 tends to lead towards the elimination of religious superstition," meaning Christianity. Richard Bozarth, he says, "We must ask," tell me that there's not an agenda here. He says, "We must ask how we can kill the God of Christianity." He says, "We need only to ensure that our schools teach only secular knowledge. If we could achieve this, God would indeed be shortly due for a funeral service." A couple more here. John Dunphy, he says, "I am convinced that the battle for mankind's future must be waged and won in the public school classroom by teachers who correctly perceive the role as proselytizers of a new faith, a religion of humanity. These teachers must embody the same selfless dedication as the most rabid fundamentalist preachers, for they will be ministers of another sort, utilizing a classroom instead of a pulpit to convey humanist values in whatever subject they teach, regardless of the educational level, preschool, daycare, large state university, doesn't matter. He says the classroom must and will become an arena of conflict between the old and the new, the rotting corpse of Christianity and the new faith of humanism." And one more, this is from a Harvard professor of education and psychiatry. "You tell me if they're not preparing the kids to receive, not just turn away from Christianity, but they're supplying it with something, folks. They're trying to, they're taking the school system and, first of all, they don't even think that our kids belong to us. That's a whole other topic. Okay, and they're preparing our kids for the future they're building for us. The Bible calls it the New World Order, the Antichrist Kingdom. You don't want to be there." But here's what he said. Listen to this. He says, "Every child in America entering school at the age of five is mentally ill." Well, why? He says, "Because he comes to school with certain allegiances towards our founding fathers, toward our elected officials, towards his parents, towards a belief in a supernatural being, towards the sovereignty of this nation as a separate entity." That's a mental illness? And he says this, listen to this. He said, "It is up to you teachers to make all these sick children well by creating the international children of the future." Folks, I don't know about you, but that sure appears to me to be a whole different agenda for teaching our kids. So much for reading, writing, and arithmetic. Folks, they admit it. They want to turn your kid from God. Okay, and not just turn them from God. They want to prepare them to receive the New World Order. The international children of the future is what he's talking about. And the irony of this, folks, it's a slowly methodical thing that they've been working towards. And I came across this thing from Paul Harvey, and he warned about this subversion. You want to take God out of school? You want to remove prayer? You want to get him out of our society? Hey, gee, I wonder whose tactic that is. And it is something that he shared on his program 50 years ago, nearly 50 years ago. I think we should have listened to him. Listen to this. Here's what he said. He says, 50 years ago, he said, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness and would have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population. But I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, the. So I set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. 50 years ago, he said this. He said, I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of the serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what is bad is good, and what is good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting, so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I would soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, a nation at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild until, before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. That was 50 years ago. He said, within a decade, if I were the devil, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, and then from the schoolhouse, and then from the House of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I would take from those who have and I would give to those who want it until I killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what you will bet, I couldn't get the whole states to promote gambling as a way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, and that what you see on TV is the way to be, and thus I could undress you in public. I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there were no cure. In other words, Paul Harvey says, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
And that is what's going on today. Pastor Billy, thank you so very much for being with us, because we need to sound the alarm. People who love their children and grandchildren, you've got to get them out of government schools. It is intent upon destroying their soul. Pastor Billy, God bless you. Talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.
God bless. Thanks, Dr. McKee.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Revolution NMR LLC reminds listeners to honor our military members. Without their courage, we would be unable to enjoy the freedoms granted to us in the Constitution. Let's salute those who have given their lives in the line of duty, as well as those who serve today. Show your appreciation by sending a care package to our troops. Contact your local veterans organization for more information. This reminder has been from Revolution NMR LLC in Fort Collins, creator of Scientific Instruments.
Well, Dr. Stan, I do hope you enjoy Pastor Billy. I hope that you listen to what he says very carefully, because he's absolutely correct. America was a Christian nation. We've been taken over by evil. Our Constitution still is founded on Christian principles. It simply not applied because they took over our Supreme Court long ago. And who did it? The Masons did it. We have secret societies that are intent upon using America's financial and military power to bring about a world government. They're about to plunge us into a war with the Muslim world, and of course this coming war is going to have terrible results here at home. During the First and Second World War, we could send our boys overseas to fight and destroy other societies, but we were not touched. That's not going to happen the next time. God, I believe, is going to bring his judgment on America. First of all, you need to get Pastor Billy's talk. It's called The Final Countdown. There are five volumes, and the sixth one will be along shortly. But each volume has five DVDs in it. And when you get those, it's not simply a sermon, although the sermon is interesting, the material is interesting, but all sorts of video clips so that you can actually see this, understand it. You need to get this. You need to show it to others. It is a cry, a plea. Get involved, ladies and gentlemen, because, of course, freedom is lost when good people do nothing. And the price that good people pay for their apathy and indifference to public affairs is that they're ruled by evil men. And we are ruled by evil men today who are rigging our elections. I mean, that's why they brought in the electronic voting machines. Or they're all rigged, or they can all be rigged. And basically, of course, there were thousands and thousands of voting irregularities last November, and you remember what happened? Absolutely nothing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, because it really didn't matter whether we got McCain or Obama in, they're all controlled by the same people. Or the elections, I should say Romney this last time. But, of course, they control both political parties and make mockery out of our electoral process. But God is going to bring his judgment on America. You need to get The Final Countdown. You need to get Pastor Billy X, other a DVD series which we carry, and you can get them by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. I suggest you start with the first volume of Final Countdown and get the rest of them. We've watched them all. We watch them with anticipation. They're not that expensive. And you need to get them. You need to get others to watch them. You need to be on the front lines of this battle. We send our boys overseas to fight and die in no-win wars. 35,000 American boys have been killed or injured. Over there, we never talk about all the people with injuries, those who had both legs blown off. And, of course, you must understand that we send our boys overseas not to win a war, but to bring about the world government and to destroy morality throughout the world as we bring about the one world religion, and we're destroying Christianity in the Middle East. That is the purpose of our military today. In fact, in the military today, a Christian chaplain is prevented from praying in the name of Jesus Christ. This is where we are today, and you need to be involved. Freedom is lost when good people do nothing. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. You can go there. You can go to the part on listen. You can listen to our programs 24 hours a day because, you know, we do 5 hours of talk radio a day. That's 1-800-544-8927 and radioliberty.com. And if you're in a position to help us financially, we could certainly use your help and support to maintain our network of 50 stations outlets across America every week. Again, please pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty, our business protection tomorrow. Thank you.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him.